This is Just Talking Sam Podcast, y'all. Just Talking Sam Podcast. Just put your name on it. If you don't talk about it, be about it.
I don't know this till like right now.
Seriously.
You're on iTunes, y'all.
But it's obvious, if y'all just listen, we never write this out.
Hey, what's up, what's up? It's your man Sam, host of Just Talk With Sam Podcast. Man, Just Talk With Sam Podcast. Man, we got a great episode for you today. I get a chance to sit down and talk to a very, very special person, the comedian Alex Thomas. Yes, I want to sit down and I want to just say, man, I am more than lucky. He gave us a little bit of our time when he was here. He's actually this week. He's going to be at the Punchline Comedy Club February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, Southfield, Michigan. You can check him out. He gave us a few minutes of our time. And my man, he's an institution all to himself. Over 25 years in the game of comedy, he has nothing but great stories. We get a chance to sit down, chop it up from his beginnings to his middles, where he started, people he influenced, people he, and quite honestly, where he is now and some of the future projects he have going on. But man, it was a great time just sitting down talking with my man Alex Thomas. But before we get into all things revolving around this podcast, we gotta talk about the podcast itself. The home and epicenter of the podcast can be found at samshownation.com. Yes, right there on the homepage and current promotions page of samshownation.com is a donate button. We've always been a crowdsourced podcast, and right there on the homepage and current promotions page, you can click that donate button and keep the free funny free. Go ahead and do that. Look, I don't know if you know this, but there's a bit of overhead when it comes down to holding a podcast. And you guys have been rocking with us since our inception. And we always said, go to samshownation.com, click that donate button, and give whatever makes you feel like a good person. Hey, maybe you want a little bang for your buck. Maybe you want to show your love for the podcast. You could do that too. Go to samshownation.com. You click that store link, and right there, we got a bunch of swag for you, whether that be t-shirts, whether that be hats, whether that be stickers. We got some new merch coming, you know, between me, you, and the wall. But right there, whatever you want to do and whatever you want to wear to show your love for the podcast as you go through your daily life, you can do it right there at samshownation.com. You hit that store link and you can shop as you normally would. Wear our logos, wear our stuff as you go through your daily life, and you can go ahead and do that and show your love for the podcast. Trust me, it is like the fourth best way to help out this podcast. And the podcast, speaking of the podcast, you can always go to samshownation.com and you can hit that podcast link and you can catch up on all of the podcasts from Just Talking with Sam. And you can scroll down there and listen to all the ones you may have missed, all the ones you want to catch up. Maybe you want to hear it again, but maybe you don't want to listen to it right there on the podcast page. We're currently available on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play, good old RSS, and iTunes. And to deal with iTunes, one thing we encourage you to do, because you get a little feedback, go to iTunes and look for the Just Talk with Sam podcast and rate and review us. Give us 5-star reviews. Let us know you had a good time. Put in the comment bar. Give your feedback. Rate us, review us. Let us know what you like about the podcast. Maybe you want to give us 3 stars. Maybe we was off our game. Maybe you want to put in review. We like this thing better. Whatever you want to do. I mean, we are open to feedback, but please, we appreciate 5-star review, 5-star rating, and review with the podcast. We got a few sponsors this week, and let's just jump right into our sponsors. First sponsor this week of the Just Talk with Sam podcast is the good folks at NBAStore.com. Yes, go to SamShowNation.com. You hit that NBAStoreLink.com, NBAStoreShop.com. They got everything that you need to rep the NBA. Look, the season is just heating up, and you may want to hurry up. For one day only, they are giving 20% off all orders with the promo code DUNK20 at checkout. Go ahead. The All-Star Game is right around the corner. All-Star 2018 Los Angeles. Regardless of a fan, whoever of a team of a fan you are, if you are like me, you're a Pistons fan, you like Golden State, you like Cleveland, you get down with OKC, you get down with the Knicks, you a Miami fan, maybe you a Lakers fan, you can go here and go to SamShowNation.com right there on the current promotions page, and you can click that link, that NBA store link right there. You can take up to 60% off some of their NBA gear right there on the clearance section. Maybe you're getting ready and you just want to stock up on your gear. But if you go today, on top of that, 20% on all orders. Just put in the promo code DUNK20 at checkout. Whatever you need, whether that's jerseys, t-shirts, hats, shoes, it's all right there at NBAStore.com. Go to SamShowNation.com, hit that promo link, hit NBA store link, and go ahead and put DUNK20 at checkout. The next sponsor is the good folks at Walmart. Yes, Walmart.com, who wants you to feel the love. Yes! Valentine's Day is very short. It's like not even 2 weeks away. You may want to hurry up and you want to get this and feel the love with the Valentine's Day gift for everybody. Go to SamShowNation.com. You click that Walmart link and you can get it for everybody. Whatever the Valentine's Day person in your life, you can go ahead and you can get what they will need. Whether that be Valentine's Day gifts, whether that be the chocolates, whether that be the stuffed animals, whether that be the trinkets. Maybe you want to go hard. Maybe you want to get some jewelry. Maybe you want to get some party supplies. Maybe you want to get some intimates. Ooh! You can go to SamShowNation.com. You click that Walmart link and get your Valentine's Day popping. And if you go through SamShowNation.com, you click that promo code. Excuse me. I want to rephrase that. You go to SamShowNation.com and you click the Walmart link. You can pick up your Valentine's Day gift as soon as today from your friendly neighborhood Walmart with the pickup discount. You get that pickup discount, you could go to your friendly neighborhood Walmart, you get with a, your tablet, your laptop, your phone, order it right there. Go to SamShowNation.com, and by going through SamShowNation.com, you can order whatever you're going to get. They're going to give you your receipt, and you can go to your friendly neighborhood Walmart. You can pick it up as soon as that day. So please go to SamShowNation.com. You click that Walmart link and you get the Valentine's Day gift for the special person in your life. So go to SamShowNation.com, click that Walmart link. It's Valentine's Day gift for everybody. And lastly, and certainly not leastly, the granddaddy of them all, Amazon.com. I'm pretty sure my guests would appreciate this. If you go to SamShowNation.com, you click that Amazon banner on the homepage and current promotions page, in that search bar in Amazon, you put in the name Alex Thomas. This is a very funny dude that we're about to talk to, and all of his stand-up is right there. Well, not all of it, but a good chunk of it. You can click, check out some of his stuff when he was with Def Jam. More All-Stars is right there featuring Alex Thomas. You could get Straight Clowning from Alex Thomas. You could get it Cutting Up in Chicago by Alex Thomas. You could get I Got Next by Alex Thomas. you can get a lot of the special. The Platinum Series Comedy with Alex Thomas. He's right there. You can get him. Next up, All Stars of the Sunset Strip featuring, you guessed it, Alex Thomas. Man, you want to laugh your head off, you could go ahead and do it. The only thing we ask you to do is go to samshownation.com. You click that Amazon banner on the homepage and the current promotions page and go ahead and laugh with some Alex Thomas. Here's what we're about to do. Before we jump into this podcast, what we're about to do, we're going to listen to a few minutes of some stand-up from the very funny Alex Thomas. And then the next sounds you're going to hear is my voice interviewing a very, very talented and funny man. And you can check him out. He's going to be here this weekend, February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Punchline Comedy Club. If you are in the Detroit metropolitan area, go to the Punchline Comedy Club in Southfield, Michigan. Check my man out. It's 5 shows. Hurry up. There are very limited tickets available. Please check my man out. You thank me later. He's a funny dude. And if this podcast is anywhere near reflection of his comedy, it, man, you will love it. So check my man out. It's Alex Thomas. See you in a few.
Peaches. Tatalicious. Tatalicious. Don't matter where I go in America, I'm like, my name's Alex Thomas. Nah, nigga, Tatalicious, nigga. What's cracking, ATL? Make some noise. Before I even get started, where's everybody from? Yell it out, states, towns, cities. East Coast. Oh, we got New York in the house? New Yorkers, y'all the funniest people in the world. Y'all the only people who ask one question, where do you live? You gotta give a nigga 3 answers. Where do you live? Brooklyn, 54th Street, Fort Greene Projects. You don't hear that in L.A. What sound of my brothers? Where you from? South Central, Watchtower, my mama's house. It wouldn't sound right with foreigners either. Where you from? Africa, Jungle Road, Hot 52. I just want to find out, everybody that loves hip-hop like me, make some noise. If you love hip-hop, make some noise. 25 and older, where you at? So that's the old school niggas. The niggas that remember the beginning of hip-hop. When it was real easy. When you understood every word these niggas were saying. Back in the Run DMC days. War going on across the sea. Street soldiers killing the elderly. Whatever happened to unity? What? Huh. Nigga, what Kumo D? Wild Wild West. We used to go down. God damn. You old ass niggas. Nigga, Big Daddy Kane, nigga. I get the job done. I work. I don't understand what these niggas are talking about anymore. I'm lost. He's a thriller, but I'm not a gorilla. You understand? Nigga, no, I don't understand. You in the clubs, huh? You in the big body bands, huh? Look at your friends, huh? Nigga, huh? I don't know what these niggas are talking about. See, I grew up back in the old school. See, right now, niggas are so straightforward. I love rappers. Them niggas say shit and the girls just love it, you know? Straightforward. What these bitches want from a nigga? I just want to fuck bad bitches. All the nights I never had bitches. Yeah, I'm all up in that ass, bitches. Fuck them other niggas. I'ma ride for my niggas. Fuck them other niggas. I'ma ride for my niggas. And then the video comes out. They gotta clean it up for TV. It don't even sound right. Forget those other people. I'ma ride for my friends. what these ladies want from a fella. I just want to kiss bad faces. All the nights I never had faces. See, I grew up in an era when rappers and a lot of artists didn't even cuss. Remember when they didn't cuss? I couldn't even imagine some of the artists I grew up with cussing. Nigga, I could not see Lionel Richie cussing. People dancing all in the street, biatch. Let the music play on, hold. Feel it in your heart, feel it in your soul, motherfucker. I couldn't see Billy Ocean cussing. Caribbean queen, bitch, you know just what the fuck I mean.
I want to say thanks for jumping in on our Super Bowl spectacular.
We rolling now?
Come on, let's do it. I want to thank you for jumping in and thank you for having me back where we can sit down and do the real podcast before we get started with every guest. We always please your social media where they can hear you. We want people to Google you while we're talking about you.
Oh, absolutely, man. Everybody got to hit me on Instagram at FunnyManAlexThomas. That's also my Facebook. Funny Man Alex Thomas on Twitter. It's I Am Alex Thomas. So, yeah, man. Let's have some fun. Let's talk.
I know we said this a little bit off mic, but now we can finally get into it, Matt. I have been watching you throughout my entire adolescence. I have been watching you. You were for a long time. This is before Straight Clown and this is before Laugh-A-Palooza.
Oh, wow.
This is... And I say this affectionately.
Yeah.
You were that dude in every black sitcom I've watched. Oh, it's that guy.
Well, first of all, thank you for making me feel 75.
Sorry.
You're going to be like, I saw you on the Jeffersons. I see here that you marched with Martin Luther King. You were the baby in Roots. I mean, damn. No, but you know what?
You were that guy. But when you were that guy, I point to that guy. Hey, we got to sit down and watch that. That guy is funny.
Right.
Then... What's his name? Oh, is that guy?
No, you know what? I've been fortunate, man. I'm going on 25 years of doing stand-up comedy, and pretty much I had a lot to do with a lot of the black sitcoms that went on in the 90s when TV was huge for black folks.
Yeah.
You know, I was on the Jamie Foxx show for 3-4 seasons. I was a writer on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air from 93 to 97. A lot of people were always like, wow, that was one of my favorite TV shows of all time. Like, how did you become a writer on that show? Did you take writing class? Did you go to writing school? Absolutely not.
Okay.
I was just, you've heard of The Right Place at the Right Time?
That's you?
Story of my life. I'll just tell you quick story. I was a broke stand-up comic. Mm-hmm. I had $11 in my pocket. I caught the bus to the world-famous Laugh Factory up in Hollywood.
Right.
I sat in a 14-hour line just to do 3 minutes amateur night. And it was my third time doing stand-up comedy. And went on stage, did my little 3 minutes. Will Smith was sitting in the front row of the Laugh Factory that night. Got off stage. He was like, yo, man, you're really funny, man. My name is... I was like, I know who the hell you are.
You Will Smith.
You Will Smith. And he's like, well, you know, I got this brand new TV show. I'm like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I watch it every week. It had only been on a year at that time, right?
Okay.
He goes, so let me ask you a question. He goes, do you write? I was like, you got a pen?
That's what's up.
He's like, well, do you think you'd come down and help us with some funny stuff on the show, like what I saw on stage tonight? I was like, hold on, let me check my schedule. Yes, I'm available.
He's like,
when do you think you could come down? I'm like, now. Can I get a ride with you? And the rest was history, man. I was there the next day.
So
for
like,
4 years, almost 80 episodes. And so we became great friends and... The rest was history.
That's what's up. As a writer, and like I did a little bit of homework to prep myself for this.
Yeah.
And we're gonna put a pin in that. Because I want to talk about a little bit of your writing. But one of the things I wanted to get in, you started off as a dancer with Rosie Perez. Okay.
Wow.
Now I have to ask.
You took it way back.
I took it way back. Like I said, I have been watching.
Right.
And you were in Living Color, and you was out there.
Soul Train.
Now, I will say this. Like, this is the furthest reach of my research, because I said, like how we were just chopping it up.
Right.
No falseness here, but
you were so close to music your entire life. Like,
oh yeah,
in the homework I've done, and this is the internet, so if I'm full of shit at any time, just tell me I'm wrong.
All right,
I read that your mom was a classical pianist.
Yeah.
Your dad used to be down with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, my father was with Earth, Wind, and Fire from the very beginning to 1980. So my dad helped come up with the name Earth, Wind, and Fire.
He couldn't work that dead for himself. Like, Earth, Wind, Fire, Stone. Stone.
They were actually, and everybody that knows the story, they were actually a band called the Phoenix Horns.
Mm-hmm.
Maurice Verdine, my dad. They came with Earth, Wind, and Fire. I was like an Earth, Wind, and Fire baby when they were just a band playing in parks all the way up to like Fix-It's grade, you know what I mean?
So Getaway was about you.
No, it was so funny is my dad was the wind of Earth, Wind, and Fire. He was the trombones, trumpets, and all that.
Okay.
And he went on to like produce like Minnie Riperton.
Yeah.
You know, Sly and the Family Stone. I got baby pictures of me and Stevie Wonder and Sly and Family Stone in studios with, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire smoking weed in my living room.
Oh,
you know,
man.
What I mean? So Jamie Foxx always teases me because he's like, dude, you grew up with two pianos in the house. Your dad was with Earth, Wind, and Fire. They put horns in your mouth, and you can't play shit.
How?
You ended up telling jokes for a living.
That's what I'm getting at. How? Where did it? Where
you
did
know
it
was?
Not
it was
kind
of like they kind of forced me. You know, you hear about people that force their kids to do stuff and they end up not doing it.
You rebel yeah, because you've been forced so
yeah,
much.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of. But back to the Soul Train thing. I was a straight break dancing, pop locks, and street dude in L.A. And by 15, I would say from 15 years old to 20, I was a Soul Train dancer.
Right.
I was the youngest dude in the room going down the line every week, the world famous Soul Train line. You can Google Alex Thomas going down the Soul Train line, and you will see some of the funniest videos of me in the late 80s with a flat top looking like the lost member of Guy. I looked like I was Teddy Riley's stunt double.
Challenge accepted. Because I didn't Google Soul Train, but I Googled In Living Color, and there was a few of you with the shiny baggy boy.
That's
and
funny.
You was out there doing your thing.
Well, actually, what happened was Rosie Perez and I were great friends at Soul Train.
Okay.
And she became the choreographer for the Fly Girls.
Okay.
Right? And that's back when I was just known as a dancer, but I was a silly dude telling jokes, didn't go on stage. Just, you know, in the neighborhood had a dude that was funny and just didn't know what he was going to do with it. Wasn't professional, didn't make a dime doing stand-up. So when I got to In Living Color, you know what, man? This echo is killing me.
Like I said, you can turn
can
it down.
I got you
right here, man.
All right.
I know that's why I said it could get very annoying. Okay. And see how me and you can hear each other speaking voice?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you just as fine.
Cool. I can't hear myself, but it's cool. Hey. I don't need to hear myself.
All right. Like I said, this is real talk conversation. Just us.
Yeah.
You see how me and you talking?
So let me finish my story.
All right.
So now it's better. So Rosie became the choreographer for the Fly Girls for this new TV show called In Living Color, right?
Yep.
She asked me to be her assistant.
Okay.
Because I was the dude that knew all the hot new dance. She was famous, but I was the dude, the street dude that knew the new dances. And I was that dude, right? So basically, long story short, that's where I met Keenan, Ivory Wayans, and Damon Wayans.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, this little dancing dude, he could dance his ass off, but he's hysterical. They were like, have you ever thought about doing stand-up? And Rosie's like, oh, we were always telling him he needs to do stand-up. He's so funny. I tried to tell him about my friend I just met a couple of weeks ago. The friend she just met a couple of weeks ago was Martin Lawrence when they Do the Right Thing. You know what I mean? So she had just met him when they did the movie.
Right.
She was telling me about him. She was telling him about me, about my boy in L.A. He's a dancer, but I'm going to introduce you guys one day, and you need to tell him he needs to get on stage, Martin, and da-da-da. This is before Martin had the TV show.
Right.
This is as Martin's finding himself as the actor, comedian. How crazy is that? Years later, I end up being on Martin's show and being great friends with him. But Keenan and Damon, comedy legends, were like, you need to get your ass on stage.
Mm.
So they were the ones that kind of talked me into doing stand-up along with Rosie. And that's kind of how it happened. If it hadn't been for In Living Color, me being a dancer,
okay,
I would never have met Keenan Ivory Wayans, who is a comedy legend, and I would have never met Damon, and that's how I got started.
All right, now, I put the pen in the writing story, but I just want to ask this one question. Every good whatever you are, if you're good at something, you want to have that one last battle where you personally is like, all right, well, maybe I should try something else. Yeah. You ever had one of those, or did you just take their word for it? Or was it like one thing that didn't work out, and you was like, let me try the comedy thing?
You know what didn't work out for me?
What?
The major thing we left out about those times, at that time?
What?
This thing called college.
Oh, well, there you go.
And people are like, did you go to college? I said, I went to college for 20 minutes.
Oh,
I was the original college dropout before Kanye talked about that. Right? So at that time, I'm like, okay, college wasn't for me. That wasn't working out. My heart was in entertainment. I didn't know what I wanted to do yet.
Got it.
I just know I needed to be in this entertainment game somehow, some way. So at that time, I'm going back and forth from doing a ton of videos. Put it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Take somebody like Dr. Dre.
Okay.
LL Cool J. Eazy-E. Tony. Run DMC. Hammer. When they all found out that I was doing stand-up, the first thing they all said is, that little dancer nigga tells jokes now?
Oh, my God.
That little dancer dude tells jokes now? They knew me as the dancer.
You was the dancer.
I was the dude in everybody's videos.
So you was Diddy.
NWA video. Pretty much. I was Diddy. Just trying to figure it out.
Chuck Knight was talking about you.
Yeah.
All this entire time. Chuck Knight.
You might Google old NWA video and you will see Alex Thomas.
Challenge accepted.
As an 19-year-old dude in those videos. I'm dead serious. I was in videos like Gin and Juice with Snoop Dogg just as a backup dancer, hip hop nigga, wearing hockey jerseys and just being a street dude trying to find my way.
Okay.
But having people laugh, not knowing that I'm eventually be on TV and movies. This was those years from like 85 to 91 trying to figure out what am I going to do.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to answer your question, it wasn't one of those. I tell everybody, and I tell this to the young comedians and actors of today, I didn't have a plan B.
Got it.
You know, there was no, if acting doesn't work out, I can always go back to being a chemist. Or I can go back to working at the post office. No, because I never had a job, and I didn't have a college education. I just knew I was talented. I had a personality. I was funny, and I could dance.
Got it.
What am I going to do with this? And then the stars just started aligning. How Will Smith came into my life. How Rosie Perez came into my life. How one TV show led to another TV show. One movie led to another movie. And
here we
go.
That's
my story.
Now, one thing I will want to say, like, when you talk about you wrote, can you point to a joke and be like, oh, that's mine? Or is it something, your claim to fame? Not necessarily.
When I tell you, there's so much stuff. You know, I have people coming to me and go like this all the time. They go, so I didn't know you wrote on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So you're the reason Will Smith is so funny. Never, ever, ever.
Okay.
I don't claim that. What I claim, in sports terms, I always say, like, I'm Phil Jackson.
Got it.
I'm Bill Belichick.
They got the ability.
I was just fortunate to, like, Phil Jackson was fortunate to coach two of the greatest basketball players of all time, and that was Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Bill Belichick was just very fortunate to possibly have coached the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right.
And it makes you look good
because
as a coach, because now I was just running in the plays.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not the reason Will Smith's funny, you know, because Will has a super amazing comedy mind, great personality, but he just found a young kid that was the same age as him, and the same way Will grew up in Philly was the exact same way I grew up in South Central LA.
Got it.
We spoke the same language. We were both hip-hop, and I was funnier than a lot of those white writers on that show, not knocking them, because they were some of the greatest writers of all time.
But if I can't mess with you, if I can't gel with you, I got you.
And I just started out as just personally writing all the jokes for Will Smith and ended up writing scripts. So over the years, a lot of those episodes, I'll be Nick at night sometimes, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm looking at TV and I'm going, wow, I wrote that.
That was a good one.
I wrote that.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that. All these things that I wrote on. We were just young kids having fun.
Uh-huh.
We didn't realize that it was going to end up being one of the biggest TV shows of all time.
But that, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because not only have you been attached to some of the biggest TV shows of all time, like, and I'm just going to Yeah. Name them out there, not in particular order. Yeah. You was on Moesha. You was on Jamie Foxx show. Fresh Prince. Martin, you're currently Martin. You're currently a voice on Family Guy.
Yeah, like, I've been on Family Guy 10 years.
Yeah,
one of the biggest cartoons in the history of cartoons. I'm what's called recurring. Meaning I'm not on it every
You're not every...
Yeah,
but
yeah, so if they did 300 episodes. I probably did 80.
Okay.
Years. I'm not on it
nothing to thumb your nose at. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like,
no,
that,
no, 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 no. I've been very fortunate. And put it this way. Family Guy led to my brand new series. Netflix.
And that's
it's,
what...
It's the first...
Are you reading my notes? Because,
no,
like, I we were going
to... I'm a talker.
We was going to dovetail into that.
So,
yeah, go ahead, man.
I might as well let them know. It's about to come out this March or April... Animated Netflix first urban animated series, and it's called Motown. And it's the whole history of Motown, and it's executive produced by Smokey Robinson.
All right, as a Detroit representative,
absolutely,
against the smoke.
Absolutely, that's huge.
Get it right. That's all we ask. That's all we ask. Hey,
so,
hey,
yeah, yeah.
Get it right. You know what I mean? Like, if you need somebody to drive you around Motown, so y'all get it right.
Exactly.
Don't what up. Hey, throw a couple of what up those in there. Get it
so
right.
It's cool because, you know, Motown is not only a Detroit thing, it's a historic, iconic thing.
People yes, sir.
Worldwide, no matter what color, race, gender you are, you know Motown.
That's what's up.
Whether it was the Jackson 5 or whether it was the Supremes or whether it was Marvin Gaye or whether it was the Vandellas or it was Little Stevie Wonder, we could keep going on. Mm-hmm. Those timeless songs that came out in the 60s and the 70s, they will live forever.
Right.
So every single episode of Motown, it's called Motown Magic, each episode is around a Motown song. So, for instance, Heard It Through the Grapevine.
Oh, yeah.
That's an episode.
Got it.
ABC. That's an episode.
Got it.
And we did 54 episodes, so we got two seasons.
That's a lot.
My character is called Jimmy Mac. I'm a 1965 Cadillac.
That's what's up.
You know, named Jimmy Mac. So it's gonna be fun. So all the people that have followed me over the years on cartoons, you know, I was the Black Dolphins on Family Guy. I've been on a ton of stuff. If you like animation, check me out on Netflix.
One thing I always ask people is that spring. We have on the podcast, especially if you're on TV, especially if you're on music, and I guess in your case, can you legitimately watch yourself on TV and enjoy it, or do you go back to that moment? Are you critical? Can you watch yourself and just be like, or sit back like how we watch it?
Yeah, for years, man, I hated watching myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk to any entertainer, and we kind of all say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, and I've been on TV and movies so long now. This is gonna probably you would probably think I'm weird. I could be sitting in my hotel room,
right?
And this has happened to me before.
Okay.
For instance, I'm in Detroit right now. With
yeah.
Right? My show is tonight at 8 o'clock. Right?
Okay.
It's 3:30 right now. I can go back to my room and lay in bed and watch the TV, and just in 3 hours. Players Club might pop up on VH1.
Right.
An old episode of the Jamie Foxx show might pop up on MTV. An episode of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air will pop up on Nick at Night. You know,
yeah, yeah.
Or one of my comedy specials might pop up on Showtime, HBO. And nigga, I will turn the channel.
Okay.
Like,
look.
It's weird because I appreciate it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Those checks are still coming in. It's called residuals.
Out with that.
Which is a beautiful thing. But it's weird. I don't want to sit there.
You know
I've
what?
Seen it, I guess, so many times.
Don't.
It's almost like an artist. It's like when I tell a joke, somebody would come up to me and say, "Dog, man, I was 11 years old and I used to sneak in the living room and watch Def Comedy Jam. Nigga, you did a joke about..."
That was me from 15 minutes ago. I don't know if you noticed.
Do you still do that joke? That is
that was me from 15 minutes ago.
Do you still do that joke about... And I'll be like, "Dude, I forgot that joke."
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to watch myself. I'd have to pull it up on YouTube to remember my own shit.
If it makes sense, I always ask this question because this is my internal weirdness. Anyone who's listened to this podcast,
internal weirdness. That should be the name of your podcast.
Feel free, because
your internal weirdness.
We have went that way
with Sam.
We have went that way because, like, when I ask that question, because I don't want to feel crazy, because I cannot make it 5 minutes through my own podcast. You can put in any podcast
to listen.
I can't, because when I listen, I'm like,
critique ourselves.
Oh, it's just going nonstop.
This is part of being.
You're like,
artist.
Oh, I should have did this. I should have did that. I should have said that. Right, and then at the 5 minute mark, I'm tapping out because right. I can't.
And we appreciate that other people love us.
We appreciate.
I appreciate when I'm walking down the streets of London or I'm in another country and somebody, Alex Thomas, I love you. You're so funny. Oh, I remember you from. I mean, it feels great because you don't know who's out there watching. You don't know who appreciates you. You know, like when I first met Michael Jordan. You know,
Hamfist a segue. I'll just go jump at that because we said this a little bit off mic. Like at the last minute cram sesh that I have with, I was going through your Instagram, and one thing before we got into all of this, I needed to know. How did you get into golf, man? I know we talked a little bit about sports. I know we jumped
in. Are you a
golfer? I am not.
You tried it?
I suck so hard at golf to the point where it was just like, you know what? I'm doing the sport.
When's the last time you touched a club?
Oh, last time I touched a club, I'll tell you. It was at Top Golf.
That's new. Top Golf is brand new.
Excuse me.
That's the hot shit. I love Top Golf.
It was Top Golf 3 weeks ago.
I'm about to say.
Downtown Detroit, MGM, and I'm just like, I'm going to give it one more chance.
Yeah.
And I was quickly reminded why I don't play golf no more.
Absolutely.
And when I see you, I'm seeing you at all these tournaments. For starters, what's your handicap?
I'm a 12 handicap.
That's damn good.
So that's not bad for you. That's not bad for a comedian.
For a guy who didn't sign up for it, yeah, that's damn good.
Finish what you're going to say about golf, and I got stories.
Since with that, let's go into one of those stories. You jump into golf tournaments quite often. Yeah. Anyone who's been on your IG can see that.
Yeah.
I need to know. You're going against people. Now, I can sit here and say, oh, what was that cause? What was that cause? A, how did it start? And who? I need a name. Who talked that cash money with you? Because you've golfed with a lot of people. Who's that trash-talking person? Who tried to be like, I ain't going to let this comedian...
Bro. We could be sitting here for another 3 hours. Just my golf story.
Just give me one.
Let me just go to the beginning.
All right.
Will Smith got me into golf.
Okay.
People ask me all the time. They go, so when did you start golfing? And I say, the year every nigga in America started golfing. 1997.
Tiger Woods.
Masters. Dude, I'm a hood. I can cuss, right?
Oh, you can say whatever
you
want.
I'm a hood nigga from South Central LA.
That's what's up.
Crips, Bloods, Gangbangers, Killers. The last thing I would have ever in my life thought I would be doing is playing golf.
Tiger, right? Tiger baby, want to play.
Right, right. In fact, I'm the ghetto Tiger Woods. They call me Inglewood.
That's what's up.
So, long story short, man, he got me into it in 97. When I tell you, I don't know what crack is like, but this shit became a crack habit.
Yeah.
Let me explain. Some of the greatest athletes and entertainers that there ever was, when their careers are over or when they were done doing what they're doing, they're golfers.
Okay.
They love golf.
Yeah.
Because there's a reason why Michael Jordan loves golf. There's a reason why
Charles Barkley,
every president you can think of. There's a reason why Wayne Gretzky, the greatest golfer, hockey player of all time, played. Because it's one of those sports you'll never defeat and you can't beat it. And it's a constant challenge. Every single day is different. Golf don't care if you got $1 trillion in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Golf don't care if you got 6 national championships and you're the best in the world at your sport.
Right.
You come out here and try to hit this little white ball around. It is the most difficult thing you could ever think. But it's also the most gratifying sport. Right. It's the great equalizer. It is the best networking tool I've ever had. In my 25 years of doing stand-up comedy, TV, and movies, I have made more relationships through golf than I have as the entertainer, right?
Right.
So me, growing up, everybody that I watched on TV, superstar, because remember, I'm a sports fanatic.
I'm with you.
Every single pro athlete I grew up watching on TV.
Uh-huh.
I'm either their friend now through golf, or we've hung out through golf, or I'm at their house at a barbecue because of golf.
Right.
I mean, I could just throw names out at you. And some of the top people in their fields.
Okay.
Is it snowing?
Oh, welcome.
Did it just start to snow?
Oh, welcome to Detroit.
Out of nowhere.
It was sunny.
Is that dust?
At the start.
Or is that snow?
Oh, at the start of this interview, it was sunny.
It was.
And now it's not. Welcome to Detroit.
Wow. Okay, so I'll finish what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Let me just name some of the people I golf with. Last week in Miami, I golfed with Dr. J.
Okay.
Who did Michael Jordan look up to?
Skyhook.
Dr.
J.
Who did Magic Johnson look up to? Dr. J. Even down to the LeBrons today, they're like, he'll tell you, reason I wore number 6 in Miami was because of Dr. J. Okay. Who did I just play with last weekend at Pebble Beach? Lawrence Taylor.
LT.
LT, the original LT, the greatest, the greatest linebacker in the hit. If you're too young right now, Google number 56, Lawrence Taylor, New York Giants.
Before 1998.
Exactly.
It's like a hard left turn.
Right. My huge golf tournament that I play, that I do every year in L.A., Michael Jordan was my title sponsor 5 years in a row because Michael Jordan, yes, he knew me as the comedian. Yes, he knows me the actor. But we're tight now because of golf.
That's what's up.
I've always been that dude that people go, how do you know all these superstar athletes and entertainers? How do they always have you at their golf tournaments? Number one, they all have banquets. They all need to raise money.
Right.
For their foundations. They all need a comedian to host their banquet.
So there you go.
So I'm the comedian.
Yes, you are.
Host their banquet. They pay me. In fact, these athletes, they'll pay me 3 times more than a comedy club would. So that's always been kind of like my silent hustle.
I got it.
Through golf. Not only am I golfing and making these relationships with all these Hall of Famers.
Still at work.
I'm still at work.
Yeah.
I'm making money. I'm getting free golf. And now the relationship with these guys. I do 15 to 20 celebrity NFL, NBA, football, baseball, and basketball tournaments every year.
Got it.
All because they love Alex Thomas, the comedian. But I happen to be a golfer.
I'm with that.
And I'm hanging out with these dudes that have millions and millions and millions of dollars, but for 4 hours, we're all equal.
Because of the great equalizer that is that golf course.
We're all equal. You know, one of my funny golf stories was Will Smith took me to his country club. It's called Sherwood Country Club in LA. And actually, that's where I damn near learned. I learned on a country club. I'm learning how to play because I'm great friends with Will Smith. I see him every day at the TV show. We would just get out and play golf, right?
Okay.
So one day we get out on the golf course and he goes, can you play today? I'm like, yeah, let's play. He goes, I got a couple of guys who want to play with us. I'm like, cool. He's, you know, teeing off at 12 noon, be at the country club. I get there and the foursome is Will Smith, Alex Thomas, Joe Pesci, and Wayne Gretzky.
And we're talking 1990s Joe Pesci.
This is maybe 99.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait, either way, that's still not bad.
Is it Wayne Gretzky?
That's what I'm saying.
Alex Thomas.
I'm underselling.
In my little
That's what I'm saying. That's
ass. Like, what am I doing?
You can swear.
So we get on the first tee box, and Wayne Gretzky goes, hey, Will, can your boy play?
Ooh,
and
the great
like,
one.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he can play. He said, is he in on our game? And he goes, you got to ask him. And Wayne Gretzky looks at me. He said, you in on our game? I was like, yeah, I'll play with y'all. He goes, okay, cool. We're playing 5 a hole. And I'm like, cool. Let's play 5 a hole. Will looked at me like, nigga, that's 500 a hole. I was like,
oh,
well, I can be your caddy. nigga, $500 a hole?
That is a lot.
I thought he meant $5 a hole. Five. I'm not that damn good. Rest of the day, man. I was just the hired comedian.
Oh, okay.
I just had the motherfuckers laughing all damn day. You know what I mean? So
either that or $500 a hole.
I'm with that. I don't have that kind of money at them times. I don't even been working on the show 2 years. I don't have that kind of money.
I will say this. I asked a like multi-layer question when it came down to golf. Do you have a rival? Who tried to pull your card?
Well, all the comedians talk shit.
Okay.
Who's the number one?
Who tried to do it all the time?
It's between Anthony Anderson.
Okay.
Cedric the Entertainer. Steve Harvey. Don Cheadle. And
really?
And Sam Jackson. See, we're like the Black Golfers Association.
Now, I will
like
say
the,
this.
That's like the Black Hollywood golfers. You know,
out of all the names you said, like Sid has been on this podcast. Sid talked about golf, and he said he get with people a little bit. Sam Jackson, no surprise there.
Yeah, Sam just talks shit to everybody.
But Don Cheadle, his whole thing is about being the coolest guy in the room.
Oh, he's cool, but when we get out on that golf course, we all talking shit. And don't let an athlete come out there with us like Eric Dickerson. Marcus Allen, all these guys that are members of this place called Mountain Gate in L.A. Like Chris Paul was a member there.
CP3.
Yeah, CP3. So I played in his tournament every year. All these superstar athletes, everybody has golf tournaments because they raise so much money. And it's a way to give back. Like mine is pediatric cancer.
You're looking at my notes. You got to be at this point. But go ahead, please.
I give back to children that have cancer and to help their families. And cancer ran rampant in my family, and it gave me a chance to give back. And every year at my tournament, alexthomasfoundation.com, they can go and they can see I do a tournament every ESPY week. Mm-hmm. So ESPY week is like the Oscars.
Right, right.
For pro sports. Every year, July 13th, 14th, 15th, somewhere around that time, we have a tournament, and we honor a different a celebrity athlete every year. Like one year we honored the great Jim Brown. We honored Jerome Bettis one year.
The
we
boss.
Honored Derek Fisher.
From Detroit. Gotta get we claim
and
home.
Again, Jerome Bettis, one of my good friends. Hall of Famer, legend, Super Bowl. My nigga through golf. Get what
there
I'm saying?
Is, like there it is.
When would I have ever been hanging out with this guy? Through golf.
I'm with that.
Marcus Allen, Hall of Famer. My boy. These are all people that are in my phone right now.
Right.
I play a Marshall Faulks tournament every year. Down to the new guys. Reggie Bush does a tournament every year. You know what I mean? All you know, everybody. Vince Carter did a tournament every year. Niggas that don't even play golf had tournaments. Allen Iverson had a golf tournament 10 years in a row. And I was just... And by me being at these tournaments, I would meet other athletes.
I'm with that.
And they would come to me and go, hey, man, I'm doing mine in March. Can you do them? I'm doing mine in June. Nigga, you funny as hell. Can you do mine? And next thing you know... Hustle.
And there you go.
Yeah.
Now, I understand we only got you for a few more minutes, so I just want to speed round this one.
Let's do it.
Let's speed round this one. I know, especially your presence here, you always helping out the young guys, especially guys like, you know, myself with a podcast. I'm not a comedian,
just talking with Sam.
You always helping out the young guys. What is the, and I like asking this question, what's the best piece of advice someone has given you that you could pass on to the next generation? Because there's a lot of young comics listening right now.
It may sound cliche, but just stay focused and don't give up. You know, don't give up after you had a bad night. Ask every athlete or entertainer on this planet. He'll say he had a bad night and he wanted to quit.
Mm-hmm.
The day you quit is the day something big could have happened for you.
That's
you know what I mean?
Up.
I never gave up whether I had a bad day, a bad set, whatever it was. I mean, I just kept grinding because obviously you got to keep the Lord in your life. You know, stay prayed up. Stay focused, and if you're truly talented, come on, man. The cream will always rise to the top.
Okay. Now, like I said, pushing for time. We speed rounding. This
Let's
is my internal weirdness. I always give one of these Oprah.
I'm telling you, that should be the name of your show. My internal weirdness.
Feel free to take it. This is my Oprah Super Soul Sunday moment. I asked this question. There's no wrong answer. If you had to... You stuck in the vortex. You at the crossroads. You meeting Uncle Charles. Life and death situation. Like the song, meet me at the crossroads. You standing next to Uncle Charles.
Charles,
y'all. Did anything wrong? That's Cleveland. We ain't trying to. But my point is.
I'm gonna let everybody.
Okay. All right, but my point
is. Hip hop heads.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. If we had more time, we could just jump into it. But if you. Oprah Super Soul Sunday question, no wrong answers.
Yeah.
If you could meet your great 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 grandparents or your great 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 grandkids, who would you choose? Oh, I told you, we go deep. Internal weirdness. Look at.
Oh, that's crazy.
There's no wrong answer. If you don't know, you don't know.
I want to say great 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 grandkids.
Why?
Why? Because that means I lived that long to meet them and be there for them.
All right.
You know, because I'm a new dad.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I have a 1 year old.
You are
I mean,
reading
my notes.
I have
a 2 year old daughter, and I have a 1 month old son. And my whole thing is to stay in shape and be here for them to as long as I can. Because I see, you know, unfortunately, so many of us young black men, African Americans, that are not in our children's lives. And I'm trying to lead by example to let them know, hey man, is anybody out there listening right now? If you're a deadbeat, kick rocks or get in their life.
That's what's up.
Because they need you. You know what I mean? And if that's you telling on yourself, if you feel like you ain't shit and you can't offer them, then hey, there's nothing I can do about that. But I'm one of them dudes that my parents were in my life, and I'm going to be there in my children's life, my daughter, my son. It did. I only brought this up because you said if I could meet my great great grand,
yeah, if you could go back, either way,
80 years old, and me, because you said my great great grandkids, you said right. Oh, my great great grandparents. Like, don't get me wrong, it would have been dope to meet them and see what life was like mm-hmm. in the '30s and the '40s, but obviously I can't go you back. Can't. But I can try to be here. For the future,
yeah, with medical science, you can generation. Live to be about 200. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, you so I mean? Oh, and feel free to use that. Feel free to just when you walk past somebody, just ask
hypnotics or whatever it's
just,
called. Yeah.
Just ask them one of those questions when they just got sit down. Like, goddamn.
Right.
Yeah, man. But look, we have about that time. I want to
have any more questions.
I have a ton, but I'm being respectful of your time.
Let's look at the time right now.
I'm being.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. So let's do 10 more minutes.
Let's do 10. All right. Nah. When we talked about like helping the young guys out, one thing I always make sure I say, because there's a lot of young podcasters listening, and in your case, comedians, you're young in whatever field you're in. Just put whatever. If you're listening, you're trying to get started. Mm-hmm. One thing I like to do is talk about a time when we wasn't that great, not to poke fun, like a bombing story. Like,
oh, yeah, that's real easy.
Yeah, yeah. Just so they got one,
oh, they
and they
understand.
Know.
Oh, yeah, they you gonna fail. No, you don't. First of all.
You gonna mess up.
You don't
up.
Get famous overnight.
All right.
That goes back to what I was telling you a minute ago. You're mm-hmm. gonna fail. You know, find me somebody that has not experienced some type of failure or some type of hard times before they became great. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Okay, Floyd Mayweather was 49-0 or whatever. Okay, but he's had his ups and downs still. Period. You know what I mean? You can't go off somebody that's absolutely never lost, because that's a freak of nature, does it? But everybody's lost. Mm-hmm. Before or had a bad night or bombed. Like, if you're a comedian, understand you're gonna go up there and the jokes aren't gonna be funny every single night. That's why we have workout spots.
Yeah.
So that's why we have open mics. That's why we have hole in the walls to try out those jokes. Mm-hmm. People don't realize before you saw those jokes on HBO, on Showtime, and on specials, and we had to work that out.
Yeah.
That's like saying a pro football player that you see him on Sunday game day. But you don't see that the 5 days a week that he was in the gym working out to get that strength.
That's what's up.
Right?
Yep.
So as far as stand-up comedy, oh, yeah, man, I got stories. But the most memorable one, I'd probably only been doing comedy a year and a half.
Okay.
And I did this amateur competition in Long Beach, California, this place called Birdland West. I'm going to try to give you the long story short. It was a Crip neighborhood.
Okay. So
what color do Crips wear?
Blue.
Okay, Crips wear blue. I had just went to Jungle Fever. Had just dropped the movie, mm-hmm. Jungle Fever, 1991.
Wesley Snipes. Okay.
And at the Jungle Fever premiere, they were giving out hats that said Fever. And okay. I was like, oh, cool. I got to meet Spike Lee that night. You know, I only been doing comedy 6 months to a year.
You're feeling pretty good.
I was feeling good about myself. I got a little red. It was a red Jungle Fever hat. I went to this amateur competition the next night, and I had on a polo rugby. I don't know if you remember polo rugby shoes.
I remember.
Real clean. Bought it from Macy's. Cost about $50. It was red and white stripes, and it could match my red Jungle Fever hat.
You look good.
I'm thinking I look cool. I have some tan khakis. I look like I'm dressed like a white boy.
Okay.
Like a Ivy League looking nigga, right?
Oh, like Carlton.
Yeah, like Carlton.
Oh, call back.
Absolutely. I had to, like, maybe some white chucks on or something. Just okay. Looking regular, right? Amateur night.
That preppy
Long
look.
Beach, Birdland West. D.L. Hughley is the host.
Okay.
Okay. I go up there. D.L. had seen me a couple of times as an amateur. He's like, yeah, you real funny. Oh, by the way, it's a $1,000 prize to win the amateur competition.
All the more incentive for you to get there.
I go on stage. Just so you know, Birdland West was a long comedy club. It was a real deep club. Like, it felt like it took 5 minutes to walk from the back of the club to the stage. Amateur night. He goes, this next guy coming to the stage, he's real funny because he had seen me a couple times as an amateur. I didn't have no credits.
Got it.
Give it up for Alex Thomas. I come on stage, and these two Crips were sitting in the front row with their feet on the stage, like literally that close. Just with their feet on the stage, right? I get up stage, and dude lifts up his shirt, and he has a nickel-plated Glock. And he just looks at me. Remember, he's front row.
His front
feet
row.
Are on the stage. He goes, we going to kill you, cuz. Why you got all that dead on, cuz?
Ugh.
Nigga, when I tell you, I don't know if you've ever had a gun pulled on you, or if you've ever been afraid.
A few times.
Nigga, I was so scared. That, have you heard of, like, you're so scared that your knees shake? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nigga, it looked like I was doing the funky chicken up on that.
Oh my goodness.
My knees started shaking. I was so scared. First thing going through my mind is, like, why the fuck did they let a nigga with a gun in the club?
Why is this happening?
This is all that's going through my head, right?
Yeah.
So he said, we're going to kill you because I'm so scared that I can't even say anything. My words can't come out. And in about 5 seconds later, just imagine 300 people booing the fuck out of me. I'm talking violent boos. Like, fuck you. We hate you. Who the fuck are you? Get the fuck off your stage. Now, you know I haven't even said hello yet, right?
Yeah, no.
I haven't said hi. I haven't even told a joke.
DL just said you're the funniest guy.
Nigga, I did not say a word before they started booing me, right? So I can't sit there and go, oh, my joke didn't work. No, nigga, I didn't even say.
You didn't even talk.
I didn't even say hi, right? And at that time, they would either boo you or jingle their keys. So, nigga, imagine.
That's worse than booing.
Nigga, these niggas wanted me dead. You can tell these black folks can be some vicious motherfuckers. They're booing me and they're jingling their keys. And out of nowhere, do you remember what color pants I told you I had on?
Khaki.
I told you I had some tan khakis on?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everybody started laughing. Right after the boo, it's thunderous laughter. And I'm like, why the fuck is everybody laughing? How about I peed on myself?
Oh, God.
In front of 300 people. Oh, I'm terrified. The dude has a gun in the front row. They're booing me. And I started peeing on myself. So I guess they thought that was my joke. Oh. Maybe they thought I'm the pee-pee dude. I don't know. Whatever. But I never said a word, dude. They started laughing. DL came back on stage like, what the fuck happened? I've seen you before. Like, you're funny. And da-da-da-da-da. I whispered in his ear. I was like, the nigga has a gun.
Oh, my God.
Like, who got a gun? I was like, the dude in the front. Well, what? Which one? I'm like, no, nigga. They might shoot you, too. So he's like, man, DL didn't give a fuck. They knew who he was.
Yeah.
He's like, and he sat there and bagged on him for 10, 15 minutes. I got off stage. Nigga, I ran to my car. When I tell you, I ran to my car, and in a black club, if you bomb, nobody wants to say anything to you. The security weren't trying to look at me, nothing. I ran to my car, looked like I jumped in a pool with my clothes on. That's how much I peed.
Oh, my God.
How about I came back a year later and wore a pink button-down polo and won that bitch the following year.
Okay, well, yeah.
$1,000. Yeah, I came back and got that money.
It wasn't red. You learned your lesson.
But I learned my lesson, and I got that money in a pink polo.
And that's how you do
but
it, man.
That was my horror. But I don't even want to call it bombing because they didn't give me a chance.
Yeah.
I didn't even tell a joke. They got a gun in the front row.
My man, if you could come back from that, like, you were the pee-pee guy for at least a week, and I'm being generous.
A nigga just peed on stage in front of me.
Yeah.
But no one knew my name, so it was cool because no one.
It doesn't matter.
Fuck I
like
was,
we were
know?
Talking about to start this podcast. We were talking about you're the guy from
TV. Yeah.
You were the pee-pee guy. That was your name. No one was trying to get down with Alex Thomas. You were the pee-pee guy.
Absolutely.
And you.
But like you said, if you can come back from
if
that,
you can come back
most
from
people.
That.
Come on, dude. You think they would have continued doing stand up?
Nah.
You think they would have? They would have said, "Fuck this business."
You're the pee-pee
Why
guy.
Am I doing this?
I am forever known as the pee-pee guy.
Pee-pee guy. Yeah. Yeah, man, I didn't go back to that spot for a year later and won the amateur competition the next year.
Oh, my God. Look, man, it's been cool chopping it up with you.
Yeah, man.
I see the time. This is very fun. You are totally welcome back anytime.
I appreciate it, man. They can hit me again on Instagram, Funny Man Alex Thomas. Facebook, Funny Man Alex Thomas.
You're a pro.
The new show coming out on Netflix is called Motown Magic. The new animated series. I got my one-hour special that I'll be doing this summer called... Excuse me. Hashtag the funny don't stop.
Hashtag funny don't stop.
If you look at my Instagram, everything you see, hashtag crazy. The funny don't stop.
Man, this is
because it don't
great.
Stop.
It hasn't since we've been talking.
Come on. And it ain't stopped for 25 years. It ain't going to stop till the casket drop.
Better not stop. You got two kids to pay for.
Come on, man.
Oh, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
There you have it. That was a great podcast from my man Alex Thomas. Please check him out. If you are anywhere near the Detroit metropolitan area, please check him out at the Punchline Comedy Club right there in Southfield, Michigan. He's going to be here the 1st, 2nd, 3rd of February. 5 shows. Please check them out. Man, you'll be glad you did. As far as ourselves and the podcast, anything related to the Just Talk with Sam podcast can be found at samshownation.com. That is right. Everything revolving around the Just Talk with Sam podcast can be found at samshownation.com. And also, if you want to hit us up on our social, we are Just Talk with Sam on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. No G in talking, Just Talking with Sam, all one word. You can hit us up at Just Talking with Sam, no G in talking, at Gmail. And also, you can talk to me personally on Twitter at SamShow11. But your home and epicenter for everything revolving around Just Talk with Sam podcast can be found at SamShow11. Excuse me, SamShow11 on Twitter. But your home for everything is SamShowNation.com. I will see you guys next week, man. That was a fun interview with Alex Thomas, man. We wish him nothing but the best. Check us out. We will see you guys next week. Peace out.